You can open up your Bibles or you can read with me. All the scriptures I'm reading are in your notes today. Usually I don't do that, but they are here for you today. So 1 Corinthians 15, 12 through 19. My subject today is a reason to bow our knees before our Father. This text says this: "Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied." Paul pens this after reminding them of what the gospel is. And today, I want to say something. I met two people this week that this passage rung true with me. I have a group of guys that I work out with, and occasionally a couple of them that I play basketball with after working out, usually sometimes for cardio. And then he brings his whole group of guys sometimes, and we do something crazy like volleyball or dodgeball. And I am definitely the only Christian, and they know I'm a pastor, and I'm out front about who I am, but somehow I still get to hang out with them. They're cool with it. Well, this week, knowing that it's Easter, there's one particular one that made sure I knew this week I'm not religious. And as we were playing basketball, you could tell he was going out of his way to say things, do things purposely, and just in a little more hostile way than he normally would. And I say that to you to say, just the fact of what Easter means to us made him just, I don't want to say persecute, but felt the need to mock in some ways what I believe, which was fine. I didn't laugh at things he said. I didn't laugh at the jokes. It wasn't funny to me. But that to say, the second person I met that this rings true to me a little bit about this season was a business owner. I won't say the name because I'm not trying to hurt the business, but I just heard the owner talking with some other folks, and his comments were, he was walking with a few other guys about, he was talking about some other guys about this Sunday, and that it's his one time a year to get right with God. That was what Easter was for him, the one time to make amends with our Father God and who he is. And so with that said, I began to jot down some opening words, what I want to say to us before we go any further in the text, with those experiences just this week. So here's some thoughts about Easter, and then I'll get to what I feel about Easter. For many, today is just another day. This is not in your notes, just off the cuff, except for I wrote it down. Today is just another day. It has no more significance or importance than any other day. For others, this day is an obligatory religious holiday, dominated with the warm and fuzzy and trappings of cute bunnies and colorful eggs, family gatherings, and culinary extravaganzas. For many, today is a day that folks ponder over the many friends and loved ones we've lost and think of the fragility of life and that we have in our body, thus making today not church like any other ordinary day. So here's what I'm going to say about what today means to me. Today is a day of expectant celebration for followers of Jesus. Much like the celebration of the Passover in the Old Testament and the remembrance of Egypt and Exodus, we as believers look back at the cross and resurrection of Jesus, our Messiah. But we do not only look back, we do more than remember. On this day, perhaps more than any other day, we look forward to the coming resurrection of our own bodies, our own loved ones, and our own life with God in heaven one day. Today we definitely and boldly declare faith, our faith in Jesus, that death is not the end. Death has no dominion over us. For our Savior rose from the grave and on this day and has promised eternal life to us. Although we may die in this body, Christ has promised we will not perish. His resurrection is our marker of our future resurrection. And those family and friends and who had faith have gone before us. The gift of the Holy Spirit reminds us of his promise. Let us, as followers of Christ, shout today, he is risen. So folks, he is risen. Now that you know it's coming, we're going to do it one more time. He is risen. All right. I say that because as I felt mocked, and as I felt, conversation of what today means, and it's just to get right with God. It's almost as if today is trivial. Today is not trivial in any shape or form. Today, everything's about today and what God did on the cross. Amen? And so today, no matter what you might experience on the outside for your faith, today we don't get mocked. Today's the day that everything we stand for is, right? We know it's true. So folks, I say to you, even in the midst of a world that is far from you, you may come across someone who says, I'm not religious, and for them that means this week they mock us. Well, I couldn't understand somebody who has no hope of eternity mocking somebody who does have hope. I can't understand that except for a wickedness that's far from God. And I pray for my friend, I actually do, I pray that God would intervene because I would love to be there for him in the midst of that. That is my prayer for him, that God, you would open his eyes. And I know if today was bothering him that I'm even around, that maybe probably that's because God's working on him in some way. I know that, but it offend me. But folks, what I want to say to you today is not like just any other day. Today is the victory we hold in Jesus. And so with that said, those are my opening words as we get into the text, because my focus is a little bit different this year. Last year, we focused on Thursday on Jesus, and this year we focus a little bit on a passage from Paul about his love for us. But let's open with Luke 24, 36 through 53, and then we'll get to the opening passage that I'm going to spend most of my time preaching on. As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts?" Pause. Maybe some of us in this room have some doubts. Maybe some of us in this room have some troubles that we just are get overwhelmed us. And so as I say this, look what Jesus says to them. Christian, doubting Christian, Jesus says this, "See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything to eat here?" Here to eat. They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it, and before them he ate. And he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scripture. So important. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer on the third day and rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are my witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of the Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with weakness." I did this at Sylvan Beach today. "Power! Power from on high." And he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And don't miss this. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem, as he said, with great joy, with great expectation. I added that. And were continually in the temple blessing God. The disciples go from, "I'm afraid. My God that I followed for years has just died. What's going to happen to us?" They go from that fear to people of joy and worshiping. And then soon, we're in the book of Acts as a church, soon the filling of the Holy Spirit, soon standing from the same Sanhedrin that killed Jesus, Peter would stand and boldly say, "The gospel." Amen? Transformation took place among God's people because God did what he said. Today, I want to say something very specific to you. Opening point prayer, even though I already had another opening. I want to pray that God would open our minds to understand his scripture. The greatness of why we celebrate today, and ultimately give us the capacity to understand and comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth to know the love of God. Do you know the love of God today? Do you know God's love for you? Because this season is all about God's love for us. Nothing, no hardship, no persecution, no difficulty should ever take away a Christian's knowledge of God loves me. God loves me. God loves you individually. If you are a believer in Christ, the Holy Spirit has filled you. It's because he loves you. And be reminded of every day I'm worshiping and I feel you, God, it's because you love me. No sin, no mistake can take me away from your love. No death, no persecution, nothing can take me away from God's love. If I die, I'm in his love. Amen? Do you know that? Do you believe that? It's one thing to know it, but do you know it in such a way it brings joy? Even in the hardships, you can't take joy away. Happiness is fleeting, but joy is of the Lord. Persecution comes, hardships come. But when we know we're loved by God, and we know the depths of his love for us, joy can never be taken away from us, even if you're mocked on the basketball floor for what you believe. Amen? Well, that's my hope for us today. As Paul prayed, the title was, A Reason to Bow Our Knee Before Our Father. And he opens this text. He says, for this reason, Paul, I bow my knee before the Father. And then he pens one of the greatest prayers to me in all of Scripture. As I just told you one of the verses. And here's what it is, and this is what we're going to talk about this Easter. He says, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, every family, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. His prayer is that you'd be rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, surpasses anything you may know or need to know, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And then a famous doxology. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations. Would that include us? Yes. Forever and ever. And the church says,
amen.
Amen. I began with him saying, for this reason, I bow my knee before a father. So I say to you, what would cause you to bend your knee? What is at least Paul's reason he bows his knee? And that's what we look at today as we dissect the scripture a little bit more. He first says, every family in heaven on earth is named. I provided another verse. Look at this in Acts 17, 24 through 26. The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man. As we read this, consider the greatness of God. Nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything. God does not need anything from us. Amen? Since he himself gives all mankind life and breath and everything. Everything you have, every breath you take is from God, a gift from God. Amen? And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place. All people. Everywhere they're dwelling, God knows that and planned that. It says every day, even the existence where we are now, our dwelling place, the time in which, in history, that God would have us here. I mean, think about this. God, who knows all believers from the beginning, before any of this, God already knew us. We know that when he was creating the world, God knew what his plan was with us. Because God is an eternal existing being, never in our time frame like we are. But he planned all this, and we know that. And as I'm thinking of the whole plan, God knew Paul was coming. God knew Peter. God literally at the right time had Paul come to him for his sake. God knew when Jesus was going to come. If you look historically at when Jesus came, it was the perfect time for the mission of God. Right? Because the Greeks had come. The Romans had come. There's roads. There's common language. There's common currency. It was the perfect time for Jesus to come for a work of God that would be for all nations. Amen? Folks, I say this to say, this is a reason to bow our knee. God knows me. God knew me. Where I live is not an accident. Who my father is and my family is not an accident. The time period in which I live is not an accident. God is over all of that. So that is a reason conceptually for us to bow our knee when we fathom the greatness of that. When God says in eternity there's going to be a multitude that you can't even count, he's saying a multitude you can't count, but a multitude that he knows. Amen? That is something to bow your knee in reverence today, because the second thing he says is the riches of his glory. He's praying this for a church that you would understand the riches of God's glory. Do you marvel at God's glory? We sing about it in most every song, God's glory, his greatness. Look at this, Isaiah 6:3. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, while the whole earth is full of his glory." Now, beginning somewhere in the beginning of the Bible here, and then we got back here at the very end, Revelations says this: "And four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within, and day and night never cease to say, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come.' And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who is seated on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, 'Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created.'" Pictures of heaven, pictures of creatures that is what they do at all times. And as you go further in Revelations, we had more time, we will be saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty in heaven," with those who are already doing it all day long. Amen? So Christian, I say this to you, if that's eternity, if that's what's happening now, and we're banking on wanting to be in heaven, shouldn't we now say, "God, you are holy, 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 Lord Almighty"? This is what we will be saying and proclaiming for eternity. Amen? The glory of God. That is a reason to bow our knee. That is a reason to say, "God, as I marvel on your greatness, I have to bow before how great you are, God. What am I?" As I think of what David says, "I'm a worm before you." That doesn't mean I'm insignificant. God says we're the greatest of creation, but before a holy God who's done all these things, whew, I can't compare. Amen? Much of our life is about us. But as Paul prayed for the church, he prayed that they would understand the riches of God's glory. Because when you marvel in God's glory, God fills you all the more. Because that's what we were made to do. You know, what is your purpose? A lot of times we're thinking, "What's my purpose, God?" Well, I'll tell you what every single man's purpose is. It's to worship. You were created to worship. That is the purpose in which God created us. That's our purpose. So don't find purpose in a job. Don't find your purpose in a spouse. Don't find your purpose in money. It's all fleeting. But when you worship, that's what you were created to do. You pay attention to a worm. A worm does what it was created to do, right? The clouds are going to do what they were created to do. We can go down the line here, and I'm telling you, we have a great designer, and he designed it perfectly. We would not exist as you get into the marveling of the design that God did. We would not exist. And yet God says, "What's your purpose?" We need to stop saying, "Well, God, what is my individual purpose?" Our purpose is the same, to worship God. Amen? So how are we doing at saying, "God, your glory, your greatness"? I pray that we don't have this concept of, "God, I just need to come to church on Easter and I did my duty for the year." Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. What he paid, you know, it's not just the cross. I said this at our Good Friday service. It's not just the cross. Jesus every day had to be perfect, sinless for that to take place. So every day, God had to be tempted with the same things we've been tempted with, and yet he never failed. It was an entire life of being holy. Amen? You marvel. I marvel in that because I can't make it one day without sinning. No way. I sin and I don't even know I'm sinning. Ask my wife. No, don't ask her. Don't ask her. So, folks, I say this to you. We marvel at God's glory. And then I'm reminded of 2 Corinthians 4, where it says, In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing what? The light of the gospel, of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Those who do not know God are blinded, and they're blinded from his glory. Blinded from his glory. Folks, I say that to you because he goes on and says this, for what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the eyes of Jesus Christ. So is there illuminating in your heart, believer, son of God, daughter of God, is there illuminating you that God is so glorious? See, Paul is praying for the church. He's praying for that. He's praying that they would see his glory. So I say to you this Easter Sunday, do you see his glory? Do you marvel in his glory? Do you marvel in who God is? And that is what we're created for. God created us to marvel in his greatness. Now, if I said that about myself, I would be the most egotistical whatnot, right? Right? We don't need another Caesar who proclaims himself as God. We don't need some dictator who says, I'm God, or trying to act like God. We have a God. And he is glorious and he's amazing. And as I see the story of salvation, I see my life written into it, and it's fantastic. It's amazing. But folks, are we marveling in God's glory? As Paul prayed that, and he says at the end, for generations and generations, that means it applies to us. Do we marvel this Easter Sunday? Will we marvel in his glory beyond this? Three things here, the ability to pray such prayers. He might grant you to be strengthened with power. The giving of his spirit in your inner being. That Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. The ability to have faith. Two texts that I picked out. Pray like this, our Father in heaven. I'll come back to that and pray. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the grave dwells in you, he who raised Jesus, Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. He prayed that we would understand these riches that I just read to you. Jesus, when they said, how do we pray? He taught them, pray, Father. And there's a whole other prayer, you know, the Lord's Prayer. But the fact that we can address God as Father, that is a whole new concept of God's people, where they would not even say God's name because they were so terrified to get it wrong and sin and what might God do. And yet God invites us to pray to God as Father. Father, do you pray to God with the mentality of not, God, you hate me. God, you don't love me. God, I can't, you know, I've messed up again, or I'm a failure, and what's your concept and view of God? I've got a 2-year-old son now, and I love that little boy to death. Love him so much. And now I have this concept of what does it mean to be a father? That boy could not do anything that would take my love for him away. That kid wouldn't even promise. We couldn't have kids for 6 years. And I love Naomi too. I always talk about Luke more because he's the first one. I do love Naomi just as much. Okay? Apologize, I'm on a stage. I can't think. A lot going on. But folks, marvel in the fact that we can call him Father. Secondly, the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. And he says, go to Jerusalem and the power of God is going to come upon you. When he talked about the Holy Spirit, God always talked about it as power. That dwells in us, Christian. If the Holy Spirit dwells in you, if you are born again Christian, the same power that rose Jesus from the grave lives in you. That applies to so many things I could talk about, from sin to hope to problems that are around, right? The same power that raised Jesus from the dead, which means the same power that's going to raise you from the dead, dwells in you. That is something to, again, the theme and topic of this week, that's something to bow our knee before the Father, knowing that He is God and He listens to me. Even a wretch like me, but God cares and listens to me, and God put His Spirit in me. So there's power dwelling in us, and I will raise again because of Him putting the Spirit in us. That is something to bow our knee before. And number six, being rooted and grounded in love may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. 1 John 4:10 says, in this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Romans 5:8 through 9, but God shows His love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by His blood, much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God. And John 3:16, the famous verse, for God so loved the world, He gave His only Son, that whoever believed in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. As I said before, Christ loves you. And you're like, oh, Pastor, I've heard this before. Yeah, but do you bake in that truth? Do you bake to the core of God loves me like a father? I love my son. And some of you have kids and you can understand that. Do you bake in that? Do you rest in that? When those thoughts come in your mind that you're nothing, you're worthless, when you look around and you see others and like, well, God's doing things for them, He's not doing it for me. When all that sinful areas pop into our mind, do we battle? Do we preach back at ourselves, God loves me? All my warts and whistles and mistakes and the good and the bad, God loves me. While I was still in my sin, God chose to forgive me, to die for me. God loves me, and He says, you're my child. Folks, so I say to you, if you were to walk away with one thing, what is a reason to bow our knee before the Father? Because He loved me. Before I ever loved Him, He loved me. Amen? That is a reason. That's what today is all about. So if anything is heard coming from what I'm preaching, if you walked into here today not feeling God's love or not feeling loved by God, would you let Scripture trump your thoughts? Would you let Scripture trump your thoughts of yourself? Would you let Scripture trump what people have said to you, people have done to you, all these thoughts of worthlessness? Would you let Scripture trump any of that mess? Please, because God loves you deeply, child of God. And again, Romans says this, how much more could He show His love for you other than dying for you to take the entire wrath of God because of our sin? He willingly chose this. God chose this. Man did not choose to put Him on that cross. God chose to put Him on that cross. Amen? Because of why? He loves you. So folks, I pray that you would marvel in that. And I pray that the mentality of just, you know, got to go to church on Easter or another day, like, our whole life is worshiping Him. God is so much better and greater than ritual duty. He deserves all of our heart, all of our focus, and you will be so much more happy, so much more fulfilled if you truly believe that and live that out. Because look what He says next. Final point. Being filled with all the fullness of God. Paul ends this incredible prayer with telling us that he who has Christ has everything necessary for being made perfect in God. For this is the meaning of the phrase, the fullness of God. Mankind at times thinks that they have completeness and fullness in themselves or in the things in the world, but this thinking is foolish, prideful, and wicked. The fullness, being full in God, being who He's called us to be, being fulfilled, that comes from God. So Christian, today, maybe you've failed in some ways to not really believe that you're loved. Maybe in some ways we failed by not really marveling in the glory of God, that which we're going to do in eternity forever in perfection. Maybe sometimes we're like, man, God, life is so busy and I don't have time to just bake in who You are and praise You the way I need to. Folks, when we do that, when we worship God, when we marvel in who He is, when we do the things that Paul is praying, we receive the fullness of God. You see, we worship because God's going to fill you. But if we don't worship, we don't get filled. Amen? So why do we worship? Why do we press into God? Why do we say, God, I'm going to be obedient? I want to, because we get filled with the fullness of God. You may think you need that next paycheck or that next job or that next girl or whatever. No, what you need to be fulfilled in life is the fullness of God. And you need him to fill you. Again, we're talking about a God who he says earlier in Acts, not made by human hands, right? The temples, nor is he served by human hands. You need joy. He didn't create you because I'm unhappy. No, no, no. God is fully happy, fully satisfied, fully joyous in and of himself. We, however, are not. We need to press into Jesus. We need to press into God to be filled. Christian, do you believe that today? So folks, as I finish my sermon, I ask the band to come on up. I ask you to first shout again, he is risen. So I'm going to say it and we come back. He is risen! And that is a reason to bow our knee before the Father. Final things I'll say to you. Everything I just said is based on whether you're a believer or not. Whether you are a son and daughter of God. Scripture says this, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. To be a believer in Christ, we have to believe we have sinned and we have fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's a free gift if we choose to confess that, God, we are sinners and I can't get my way to heaven. I can't be good enough to get to heaven, but I can accept your grace. I can accept your sacrifice. Romans 5:8 says, but God showed his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We didn't do anything to earn that. We were still dead in our sin, and yet God chose to free us. Romans 10:9 says this, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior? Do you believe it in your heart? Folks, I say this to you. If you are in here and you don't know God and you don't know about your eternity, you don't know whether you're right with God, I would not leave today till I figure that out. And I'll be right here willing to talk to you. I'll be willing to talk to you after service. I'll be willing to talk to you some other time. But today, the most important thing, are you a child of God? Because everything I just said has to do with, are you a child of God? Do you know you're loved? Do you know that he's your Father? Do you bask in his glory? Do you feel the Holy Spirit in you? I hope that you do. I know I do. Because I know Jesus is Lord. He's my Savior. With that said, let me go into a time of prayer. There'll be some families up here. I'll be right here. And it's an invitation for whatever this means. This does not mean if you come forward, that means I'm a lost, far from God, and I need salvation. It could be just for prayer. If you want to just spend time with God alone, just go kneel, and you don't have to come talk to me either. It just does not mean that you were lost. This just means you want prayer. And it could mean that you want prayer about your salvation. We'll be available. This is for you. Let's pray. Respond however you feel led. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for what today means to the believer. Even in the midst of persecution, even in the midst of things that are happening around the world, but even in our own context, in our own country, in the own relationships in our life, thank you that we can go into this world, this dark place, knowing that you are the light and you're with us. May we be reminded, as we think of Afghanistan, God, of the hardships of our brothers and sisters. We lift them up this Easter Sunday and ask you, Lord, to be with them as they have to endure hardships that I could never even imagine. Be with them, Lord. Be with us in our hardships, God, because you are a sympathetic high priest who understands and loves us. Thank you, Lord. I lift up Robert right now as he is in the hospital. I pray that you be with him and be with the doctors and be with the family as they try to get his diabetes under control. God, I just pray that you'd be with them and remind them that you love them in the midst of their challenge as well. And as I know of other folks in this room that are in the hospitals, I think of Pat, I think of Heather who just got out of the hospital. God, I just pray that you are with them this Easter Sunday as well. We love you. We thank you. Thank you for all that you're doing. Thank you for who you are. Amen.